Hello, my name is Dr. Latasha Schrader. I am a student advocate, school administrator, editor, and owner of Tempo Editing. I am pleased to welcome our guest, Dr. Laventris S. Ridgway, to the podcast. Dr. Ridgway is a three-time graduate of the University of South Alabama, where he earned his bachelor's in psychology, master's in clinical mental health counseling, and doctor of education in educational leadership, with a concentration in higher education. Dr. Ridgway served as a graduate-level career advisor and then therapist for a psychiatric hospital in his previous roles. He currently serves as director for the Office of Student Disability Services and TRIO programs at a public four-year institution. Serving in this role, Dr. Ridgway developed the topic of his dissertation, which is a phenomenological exploration of perceptions of self-efficacy and belongingness in transfer students with disabilities after an individualized orientation at a public university. Dr. Ridgway also has research interest in disability-related training faculty with universal design, student persistence, and perceptions towards counseling in Black men. Finally, Dr. Ridgway holds a number of leadership roles in his community, being awarded honors such as 40 Under 40 and Emerging Leader. Let's get started. When did you complete your dissertation?
Thank you, Dr. Schrader, for that wonderful introduction. And so I completed my dissertation on Friday, September 10th, 2021 at 2:47 p.m. That's when my bonus chair came back in the room or asked me to come back in the room and said, "Congratulations, Dr. Ridgway, you have successfully defended your dissertation." And I was overjoyed.
Awesome. Congratulations. It's nothing like when they tell you to come back into that. Were you virtual or were you in person?
I was virtual. And so it was funny, my bonus chair, because I ended up having to have two chairs. Mm-hmm. She texted me, was like, "I need you to go out for a little bit and then come back in like 15 minutes. And so the 15-minute mark hit, she texted me and said, "Hey, come on back in. We got something to deal with you."
Yes. Mine was virtual also. So similar experience. That's congratulations. That's a huge accomplishment.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
So which writing resources do you recommend for those currently writing their dissertation?
So what I use was definitely my university's library. And so for whatever institution that, you know, current doctoral scholars are at, you know, use your university library. They will have connections and subscriptions to journals that, you know, some of these other resources may not have. On top of that, I use Google Scholar. I used Inside Higher Ed, Higher Ed Chronicle, the NYC Chronicle. I definitely use my writing center to help me with, you know, just kind of getting some of those copy editing things smooth out. And I also use the editor to kind of help with some of those last minute things. The mm-hmm. one thing that I did not use, though, was some of the reference repositories. So like Mendeley and Zotero and all that, that just it didn't make sense to me. And so mm-hmm. I didn't use any of those. I kind of worked on my references by hand and kept a running sheet of those. Mm-hmm. And I think I had an Excel sheet for that as well. So that would be my recommendation.
Yeah, I didn't use either of those either. I started to use RefWorks, mm-hmm. and then I did not keep up with it. Like, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to write this down, and then I will add it later. Then I ended up not doing it. So what I actually ended up doing was I just added it to my reference page, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. everything I was majorly considering, and then at the end, when I checked my references against my citations, I removed the ones that I didn't end up using.
Yeah.
It's probably
yeah.
not the most efficient way, but that's what I did. the strategies to share.
So what I initially started doing in the dissertation process was trying to, in a bulk type of sense, work on everything through the weekend. So Saturday and Sunday, I was trying to spend like 4 or 5 hours working on the dissertation and just focusing on writing. And I found that that did not work. Like, I would want to just sleep and be in the bed and watch TV all day. And that's exactly what I did. Mm-hmm. So I switched it up a little bit and I started to carve out time throughout the week. I think I started off with like an hour mm-hmm. on a Monday and a Tuesday. And then I went to like an hour and a half throughout the week. Mm-hmm. And so I started working on it piece by piece for a small period of time mm-hmm. every day throughout the week. And that's mm-hmm. really what helped me get through the dissertation is, you know, having dedicated time mm-hmm. to work on it. And then one of the other things that helped me get through chapter two, a lot of people feel like, you know, is that beast that they just cannot get over. Mm-hmm. The way that I looked at chapter two was that whatever section that I want to put in chapter two, I looked at it as a mini paper. So how many ever pages I wanted to do, that was a mini paper for me. And so I pulled all my resources for mm-hmm. that mini paper and I wrote that section.
Okay.
That was the only way that I was able to get through, quote unquote, that beast. And mm-hmm. really just, again, having that dedicated time that I was very protective of. And I did not do anything else but write throughout that hour or that hour and a half.
Yeah. I like the mini paper concept. That's good. I did something similar. 15 to 20 hours a week. Mm-hmm. On the Monday through Thursday, I would do like an hour and a half or 2 hours, like in the evening, like 6 to 7:30 or, you know, 6 to 8 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then on the weekends, I would do bigger chunks. Like I didn't write on Sundays, but Saturday I would do like 2-3 hour writing sessions or something like that. And then mm-hmm. if I didn't, or if I had to cancel one night or didn't feel like writing one night, I made sure I made those hours up. So I ended up with 15 hours no matter what. So I did find the smaller chunks of time was helpful to me as well. Just because, okay, I can do this for 90 minutes. I know I don't want to, but you know.
Right, right. It makes it more manageable and doesn't seem as daunting to say, I'm going to take my whole day and try and write. Like, I mean, that's pretty daunting to say, I'm going to take the 24 hours and just sit there and write.
Right, exactly. So do whatever works for you. You know, your journey is not going to be anybody else's.
Exactly.
What did you do to overcome writer's block?
With writer's block, I really found myself having to take a break from whatever I was writing at the time. And so I found that writers, like when you're going through writer's block, that's really just your brain and your subconscious telling you, you've written too much, you need a break, you need a break, or you're writing the wrong thing and you're just trying to make it work. So you need to revamp.
Oh, I never thought about it that way. Yeah.
That's what I found from my experience. When I came into writer's block, I needed to do one or two things. I either need to step away from it for a minute, just kind of decompress, relax, and then get back to it. Or I was just trying to do too much with whatever this section was or whatever it was I was trying to write. And I needed to think it through some more.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. I never thought about it that way, but that makes sense. Okay. How would you describe your dissertation journey in one word, and why did you choose that word?
That's interesting. I think I would have to go with roller coaster. And that's not in mm-hmm. a bad way.
That's a good one, yeah.
It's not to say that the roller coaster was bad, because, you know, when we're at amusement parks or whatnot, we love being on roller coasters. They're mm-hmm. fun. They give us thrills and all of that. But I really think that mine was a roller coaster because not only was it enjoyable, mm-hmm. but there were some ups and downs with mm-hmm. just kind of being in the program, having to go through administration changes, having to go through, you know, just different policy and practices and procedural changes. That was the kind of the up and down that I did not enjoy. Mm-hmm. But being in the dissertation process, working with my chair, working with my bonus chair, having a committee that I really connected with, having mm-hmm. a committee that made this process about me, and it really seemed like my family was telling me, hey, you may want to think through this a little bit more or look at things this way, because I knew they were supporting me. That's what I enjoyed about it.
And okay. So, you know. Yeah. It's definitely ups and downs. Roller coaster is a good metaphor. I know there was some portions where, you know, you're all pumped up, you turn in what you think is a good product or whatever, and then you get the feedback back and you're like, oh my goodness, like I wasn't as far along as I thought I was. Or, you know, sometimes I have the opposite experience where I turned it in and I wasn't sure and they gave me awesome feedback. So it's just, you know.
I mean, and I had the same experience. You know, I was, I think my very first draft of my dissertation, I turned into my chair and I was happy about it. I was, oh, so giddy. And I was like, here's my baby. It's this shining gold thing. I'm turning into you. And she ate it up.
Right. You know. Right. You do end up with a better product, though. But while you're in it, it doesn't seem like, you know, you're moving in the right direction. So.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So, maybe you aren't reading anything right now. Maybe you're just taking a brain break, but are you reading anything right now?
Take a break. I can say that I want to take a break. But I started reading this book called Switch, How to Create Change When Change is Difficult. And so I'm not a quitter. I'm a finisher.
Okay.
And it's by Chip and Dale Hale. So the Hale brothers.
Okay.
It's a really good book. And I found that book pertinent to kind of where I'm at in my role right now and wanting to advance and expand it. And so I'm wanting to, you know, look at how do we create change for the positive. And the book really just talks about with an organization, there are two sides of it. You have the emotional side, and he makes the emotional side, or the authors make the emotional side analogous to an elephant. And the other side is the rider or the controller of the elephant.
Okay.
And that's the rational side, the side of the organization that kind of thinks through decisions and whatnot. And they also mentioned that for an organization to advance, you not only have to think about the emotional side and the rational side of things, but you also have to think about the path that you're choosing and the path that you want to forge. And so in thinking about the emotional side of the organization, you know, with him making it analogous to an elephant, the elephant just kind of acts on instinct. When it's hungry, it goes and do. So you need to have the writer there to think through things. You need to have the writer to, you know, is there and be rational for the organization. That's why you have the leader. And so with the path side of it, you have to shape the path. You know, you can't just think about or say, I want to take this path and just feel like you're going to stumble upon the end. You have to force through it. You have to find your people that you align yourself with. You have to find your values. You have to find your goals. You have to find what is your vision there to create that path, if all of that makes sense. So it's been a really good book.
Yeah,
so
I like
far.
That.
I'm not finished with it. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the end talks about.
I'm going to add that to my list. That sounds like something I'm going to be interested in for sure.
Yeah, it's a good book.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Okay. Before I let you go, is there anything else you'd like to share about your experience with academic writing?
I would say from my what I had to learn through my academic writing is that this experience is about me. And so I really needed to make it mine. And so that's what I would say to anyone who wants to embark upon this journey. Realize that this accomplishment, this goal, this feat, this marvel, whatever you want to call it, will be about you, and it will be your journey alone. It will not look like someone else's. And so
say that again. Yes.
It will not look like someone else's. There's this I have a canvas in my office that says life is a journey, enjoy the ride. The same thing with dissertation writing. It's a journey, you know. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy what you will learn. Enjoy what you will offer to scholarship and academia. You know, and just take all that, you soak it up like a sponge. You know, don't.
Yes.
I see a lot of people, you know, get frustrated because they don't get to where they feel like they should be. And it's, I think really with this process, you just have to let all expectations go. And, you know, just kind of live in the moment. You really have to.
Yeah, that's, I like that advice. Because all you do is make your best effort, present it to the world, and, you know, let the chips fall where they may. I like that a lot. All right. Well, Dr. Ridgway, thank you for taking the time to speak with me today and being so open to sharing your dissertation journey. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate you talking with me and inviting me to share my experience.
Absolutely. Listeners, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to listen. We all know time is priceless. Information about my editing services can be found at tempoediting.com. That's T-E-M-P-O editing.com. Last, if you've enjoyed this podcast, please follow and share it with a fellow scholar.